Hey, what's going on, Clipper Nation? It's me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
We are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Hell yeah.
Coming at you 3 days a week with all the fresh Clippers news.
Mm-hmm.
And good news. Seems like more news is on the horizon.
Hell yeah, it is.
We got a heck of a show lined up for you today. We're going to kick things off with a little bit of talk about Trez. It is Trez week on Clippers Twitter. We had a lovely conversation about Montrezl Harrell.
Oh, we did.
With the always fun Joe Morgan at Joe Morgan Takes on Twitter.
Cappy Joe, as I've started calling him this second.
Because he lies?
No, like Captain Joe, like Captain Joe Morgan.
Oh.
It's a good time.
I thought you said Cappy.
Like Captain. Oh, no. No, I'm an old man. I don't know what you're talking about. Like a hat, sir?
I thought you meant he was lying.
Oh, God, no.
So be sure to check that out. But we're going to talk some more about Trez a little bit. I mean, Charles has a very worrisome question. Is Trez at his ceiling?
Could be.
We're going to talk about that. As always, this fine show is brought to you by Built Bar. Go ahead and check them out at BuiltBar.com.
I've been chowing down on those.
We're chock full of Built Bar right now.
The work home situation with Built Bar is actually nice because I
hate cooking now.
Sometimes I feel like I have to make a full meal for like my lunch.
Yeah.
In my kitchen office. So the Built Bar comes a little
closer. Now that I'm at home 24 hours a day, every day, I'm officially out on cooking. But we had some other stuff we're going to talk about. ESPN picked the Clippers' best starting five.
You take, I would say, umbrage to this list.
Double umbrage.
Dumbridge.
And then, of course, it's Friday. We got a love Merry Quarantine for you. We got some shavings kicking around in the drawer. So all that and more coming up right about now.
So I pose this question for this first segment, not as a disrespectful question, but I think sometimes when you ask this question, it can be perceived as maybe a slight.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't mean it. Is that the question is basically, is Trez at his ceiling?
No.
I hope not. So from last year to this year, he's increased the scoring, 17 points a game to 19 points a game. Boards have stayed right at 4.5. Assists dipped from 2 to 1.7. Not that big a deal anyway. Free throw went from 64 to 66%. Minutes per game went up 26 to 28. Yep. And he, of course, is dealing with the Trez stretch, as it is known right now. This is peak Trez to me. And I don't mean that in a bad thing because I don't think it's not sustainable. But
yeah.
Other than kind of increasing boards, I'm not sure what else Trez can do. And I mean this in a good way.
So I think it all depends on the context.
For sure.
Right? Like, so is this Trez's ceiling in the Clippers' current system? You know, possibly. Or pretty close there too. I think
I think
maintaining this would be, you know, that's a feat in and of itself.
It's a championship piece.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially given how high his usage is, especially given the increase in his field goal attempts from last year to this year. And, you know, you don't love some of the stuff, like his turnovers went up. I mean, I guess it's just very marginally, though. It's just 1.6 to 1.7 per game.
Coach Updike is...
and but the assists are down, too.
Yeah, the assists are down.
Assists are down, turnovers up. If you listen to this podcast, you know my favorite stat is assist-to-turnover ratio.
That is very, very true.
But so I think it depends on how you're qualifying his ceiling. If you're qualifying his ceiling, let's say in any scheme, I think that there's a lot more that he can do.
So that is where I disagree because, like, I have a note in here, like, what can he realistically add to his game to in another system? Like, is it...
Off the dribble threes.
Okay, look, we all want more off the dribble Trez threes. Is it passing? For me, it's kind of the tunnel vision and the pick and roll.
Yes.
And that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which isn't necessarily his fault also. Because I think, like, last season when the Clippers were like, we need this Lou and Trez pick and roll to truly be the best a pick and roll's ever been.
Yeah.
So when you get the ball on the roll, make the shot.
Yes.
That seems hard to break from someone who, the year before that, didn't get used really at all.
Yeah.
So, like, he's going from his first true usage as, like, get the ball in the hole.
And doesn't it seem like he's getting the ball solo further out now, too?
Yeah.
Sometimes. And there are situations where I think everyone in the room is collectively cringing when you see him take, let's say, more than three or four dribbles.
Oh,
and
you
it's
can
like,
hear me yelling from the press box.
It's like, oh, God, so is he going to try to bulldoze through three people?
Yep.
Or
or is he going to do a between-the-legs crossover that maybe gets a little loose and we lose the ball?
Yeah.
So, like, handle could be tighter.
Handle could be tighter. Yeah. Well, so my thing is just I think on another team where he is like a bigger. I mean,
is he
already
a starter on another team also?
Possibly, yeah.
Because that's another thing. Like when he if he leaves the Clippers. Sidebar. I don't like when people say if Trez walks. It has like kind of a disrespectful thing where I'm like, if he just got more money, it's totally his prerogative.
That's a walk.
Okay. Anyway. But like, is he a starter if he goes to say, because we talked about it on Hoops and Brews, we talked about like the Hornets. Is he a starter?
I mean, they have some other bigs.
Yeah.
I actually don't have their contract situation right now in front of me, but is he capable of starting? Sure.
Oof, he is, but.
I don't know. I mean, so there's another piece of context too, right? Like, I think that he's so good in this role that if you're smart, if you're another team, you're trying to keep him as close to it as possible.
You find a backup point guard who runs the pick and roll better than anyone in D3 or whatever that weird, you know what I mean? Like, you cherry pick a guy.
Or he's, you know, the first sub in to your starters.
Always, yeah.
Or he's your first sub in and, like, you have a good point guard who can play well with him in the pick and roll and...
Definitely, yeah. Like,
I think he takes a bigger part of the offense.
Trez does,
yeah.
Or the point guard.
Trez does. Yeah. Even though he already has a pretty big load sometimes here.
Because you also got to think in another team, he might still end up playing these stretches because they haven't like.
I mean, if he's getting paid starter money, he's playing starter stretches.
And he hasn't. I mean, he played every game last year.
Yes.
He is a durable. He's one of the most durable bigs in the league.
Yeah, like, takes a lot of knocks though, and I mean.
Oh, he's rolled his ankle 17 times.
I think that's one of those things that would be a detriment, I guess, against my argument of his ceiling could still be higher.
Just because the knocks he's taking, those add up.
The accumulated knocks add up, and obviously he's not as like lumbering as Steven Adams, but like it's the same kind of thing. Like you're durable for a long time, but like you're accumulating
then the year
trauma
comes.
Or whatever.
And then the 1 year comes where you're not durable, and then you don't exactly bounce back.
Well, it's not that you're not durable; it's just that like all this accumulated stuff, I think has a there's a price to be paid.
Yeah, and he so
the Pied Piper, if you will.
He is 26 years old.
So young.
He has what should have been two big contracts left.
You think two?
Oh, yeah, I think he takes a... I think if every... if
I think he's looking at two different, like, 80 mil contracts?
Maybe not 80, but I think he does a 3-1 or he does a 2-2 because that's how... that's player empowerment. You know what I mean? Like...
Yeah, that's fair. I just feel like... It's really hard for me to think that the market for centers is going to get any better.
So I think part of this is Trez is an enigma positionally. So I think he can carve out this weird thing where he sets the market for this new kind of player.
I don't know if it's new enough.
That's totally fair. It is an uncertain kind of thing. Because like his contract is always going to be compared to Sabonis's.
Yeah.
You know, like no matter what he signs... So, all right, let's see let's say this is his one big contract that he should have gotten. That's now gone. He, you know what I mean? Like, he can't get his Pat Bev contract. He can't get his bag, as the kids say these days.
Because of the reduced
cap. It's going to be, you know, like.
Yeah, I mean, it's still going to be substantial, but yes, I see what you mean.
Absolutely, but for what he's getting, like, it's going to be so hard to look at his number. Any team that signs him is going to have the burden of looking at his numbers from this year and the year before, and then being like, can you believe he's only making this much money? And you're just like, he should be making so much more. Like, his contract, I think, will go the way of Lou Will's, where people are like, this is such a bargain. After this one, which sucks for him, because it should be his Tobias year. You know, it should be his Tobias contract. Not the amount, I mean, but like...
It'll be his version of that still. Yeah. I mean, sure. The number is down, but like... You got to compare 40%. That to other numbers across the board.
Definitely. But it's just hard when it's like the immediate next contract you have to negotiate is post-corona.
Yeah, definitely.
So
Definitely.
Do we think he signs a short-term contract and hopes that the cap goes up? Or do you think he goes longer just to... Because I don't know. You can argue with me both ways. The lunatic in me says take 1 year deals from here until the cap goes up and hope you're good when you're 30 and then take a fat ass deal when you're 30 if it's there.
I mean, that's fair. Like, he's still young. There's certainly less harm, I suppose, for him, or like less risk in taking a shorter term deal than if you're an older player. Yeah. But I don't know. I think it's also got to be hard if you're staring down that much money, even a 40% diminished cap type money.
For sure.
Although he does have a good agent and everything too, so that that could play a factor. But I think it'd be pretty hard to not take.
Chris Paul's never told me who his agent is.
Oh, you're not unaware. You're unaware.
Have you heard of Clutch?
I don't know. I think and I know that Corona did affect the cap negatively, but you still got to think as a player, like, don't you want the security? I don't know. You know, these are my thoughts. I don't
know. Like, if I could sign any kind of contract, I think I want security. But if I also, like, his potential is just like, you know, you go to Basketball Reference and he hasn't been in the league very long, so you can see the improvement pretty quick on his per season.
No, 100%, 100%. And that's why I think that you capitalize now. I think that you strike while the iron's hot. Your value, I gotta, like...
It'll never be
even though I said I don't think that he's necessarily reached his ceiling, I don't know how much it would increase his value contract-wise. You know what I mean? Like,
that's a really good point.
I truly don't know how much higher there is to go contract-wise.
That's a super good point. Regardless, I think we both hope the Clips re-sign him.
Yeah.
We need him. If we're keeping this team together for one more season, why the hell not?
I mean, yeah, and if we don't get to resume this season or finish this playoffs, I don't know. I think that to me means even if you have to pay him more money for a short-term deal,
get the chip.
You got to see this thing until its end.
You know
what
I mean?
If you don't get to see what Trez looks like on this team in a playoff scenario, I don't know how you can with a clean conscience either let him walk. Like let him walk.
Yeah, like
I truly don't know.
Man, you talk about what ifs in Clippers history.
Truly
what
don't if, know.
What? Oh man. Oh, I don't even want to think about that one. That's a fantastic point. Let us know what you think about Trez's contract. So far, most people think we should keep him. Coming up after this, we're going to be talking ESPN's picks for the best Clippers starting five. But first, we mentioned Built Bar off top.
That's true. You know why? Because they're tasty.
We got to give it another shout out. We got to give a shout out to Built Bar. They're truly like, I don't know. Call me crazy. I like when things taste good.
That's true. Yeah.
Call me crazy. Built Bar tastes absolutely fantastic. If you want a nut variety, no sweat. Brett, if you want no nuts, maybe allergic.
If you have nut allergy, they got you, buddy.
They got you covered. For instance, peanut butter brownie.
That sounds good.
A traditional classic flavor, I would say.
Yeah.
Your Reese's of the Built Bar world. You got 20 grams of protein, 170 calories, 3 grams of sugar, 3 grams net carbs. Guys, you can maintain weight. You can gain weight. You can do anything you want with these Built Bars.
Yeah.
And if you need a Built Bar, you need to head directly to their website. That's BuiltBar.com.
BuiltBar.com.
Do not go to BuiltBar.edu. You'll learn a lot about Built Bar, but you can't buy them. Check out BuiltBar.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON, all capital letters, one word. You'll get $10 off your first order. One more time, promo code LOCKEDON, all capital letters, one word, $10 off your first order at BuiltBar.com.
All right. So, in the dredges of content that is NBA content right now.
Oh, man, you were heated on this one.
ESPN picked the Clippers' best starting five, and this is... not one that's actually played together, of course, but a historical
This is an all-time
fantasy.
And I will say...
it's a fantasy.
This man, if you could see this man's expression right now.
It's a fantasy.
I will say, they're not that far off.
No. No, I'm just giving it a hard time, but I'll explain why.
So, all right. The starting five is...
According to ESPN.
According to ESPN, the best Clippers starting five of all time that you could put together. Chris Paul. I mean, one for one. That makes total sense. Kawhi Leonard. You know, hard to deny that. Then at the three, you have Blake Griffin. At the four, you have Elton Brand. At the five, you have Bob McAdoo. Things get a little off the rails after one and two.
My question is, A, what era is this team playing basketball? Because it's not right now.
It's playing when McAdoo played, so you could have Blake at the three.
That's fair. That then it makes sense for Blake to play the three, I guess, because no one shot.
Yeah, this is do you like it?
Okay, so I love Elton Brand getting the shout out. I love Blake being in there for the legacy. I question him at the three. And the Bob McAdoo thing, you know, obviously that was before I was even alive, but I think Bob McAdoo was like one of the most underrated players.
I do too. For me, he was like, you could even put DJ in here.
I think so too. I mean, like,
McAdoo played for the Braves. He was phenomenal. He was the league MVP. He was amazing, but it's like,
why not put Bill Walton in there, but with the asterisk that it's Blazers Bill Walton at the five?
Well, for me, I was like, I kind of want, like, yeah, like the McAdoo thing, it's hard to argue against.
No, totally, totally. And I'm not here to besmirch the great name of Bob McAdoo.
Absolutely not.
Don't think that for a second.
Bob McAdoo does it? I'll try to come with that one.
I think not putting PG in this, though, is downright disrespectful.
This kind of got, like, we've talked
about. It's disrespectful.
We've been on a couple podcasts recently where I got up on a soapbox and yelled about how Paul George being a top 15 player in the NBA is totally fine. We don't have to make him a Hall of Famer. We don't have to make him trash. But, like, do you just maybe put Blake where Bob McAdoo is and then put PG in where Blake's spot is? That's a absolutely possible best ever starting five, and you could even do CP3, Kawhi, Paul George, Blake, DJ.
I guess I've got two.
Yeah.
I guess I've got two, and I got a recency bias too. I got a recency bias lineup.
If you say Milos, I'm going to hurl this microphone.
I got a recency bias one, and that one would be CP3, Shea, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard.
Oh my God.
Kawhi Leonard, and we'll put, DeAndre at the five, or Blake, small ball five.
Here's one of the things that I think is hard at picking a best starting five for a franchise like the Clippers, or even the Suns, or something like this, where you have guys who are fan favorites.
Yes.
Who made horrible seasons watchable.
Mm-hmm.
And it means more when you're a franchise like the Clippers than when, like, oh, the Lakers didn't make the playoffs for 6 years. That must have been horrible. Yeah, man. When we have bad players, we embrace them as
totally.
A fan base. Totally. Like, it's this goofy thing of, like, hey, he's garbage, but what are you going to do? Like,
yeah.
So I think putting together the best starting five for a team like that, it's so hard.
Well, it's really hard, too. And, like, the thing is,
why isn't Ron Harper in here, maybe? Like, for the time that the Clippers needed him to be good, Ron Harper was indispensable.
Yeah.
World be free, same thing.
Yes.
You get a new franchise, you have the top scorer. You need him to still be good. Like,
yeah.
It's so hard to figure this out. Like, because with pure ability, it gets muddled as teams move.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it gets modeled as teams move, and then it's like, I don't know, it gets tricky when you're mixing players of different eras because
all of these guys, like, even like four of these five, you put Elton Brand in his prime in the current NBA, he's even better.
Yes.
Same with Chris
Theoretically,
Bosh.
Yes.
It's the same thing with Chris Bosh, yes. Where, like, Chris Bosh, obviously horrible health, situation. Bad stroke of luck with that. You put him in the league 2 years later, and he's, like, the most elite center, maybe. And so I think and Blake at the three, you're like, you have to put Blake at the three because Elton definitely can't play the three.
Yeah.
But, like, you can't put him at the five. Like, it's hard when all of the talent for the Clippers is also within the last 10 years in terms of, like, best players, for the most part.
Totally.
For people who are reading this content.
No, 100%.
But I also just feel bad kind of disparaging Bob McAdoo like this.
Yeah. No, Bob McAdoo deserves to be at the five all time. I guess then fine. Put Blake at the four, Kawhi at the three, Lou at the two, CP3 at the one.
Dude, so that's another thing. Lou at the two, I'm not mad at that. You could convince
and
me.
And I realize that one still skews modern, but I did very diplomatically leave PG out because I'm trying to be faithful to the heritage, the legacy.
Having not been around, like, look, I'm a Dodgers fan. That, you know, it's a wash. Things have been going well for them for the most part. I'm a Dolphins fan and a Clippers fan.
Yeah.
And it's such a trip to see one of my favorite teams have, like, Kawhi and PG. PG being, like I've said, top 15, maybe top 10 player in the league. Like, a lot of my teams don't ever have two guys who are elite. It's a trip to see PG get put into this weird place of, like, absolutely elite, and we need him, but also seemingly not really talked about as much. You know what
not
I mean?
Not enough. tell you
fair.
That.
Fair. Like, but you know what I mean about that vibe of, like, we've never had two players this good at the same time. At this level, I don't think.
Chris Paul and Blake?
I don't think they're on the same level as Kawhi and PG as a duo.
All-aroundedness, no.
That's what I mean.
Like, all, like, that's the thing. It's like, both these guys are... Like, it's, they're almost, they're fully positionless.
They're fives. They're five-tool guys. It's a baseball term, but they're five-tool guys. But, like, it's just so, and this doesn't really have a point. It's just kind of a non-sequitur. It's a trip to see how Paul George's legacy is getting affected by this. Like, he's going to be a guy who, he's going to win a chip with the Clippers.
You know what, though? ESPN is going to
hear from you.
They're going to double back on this when Paul George wins two chips with the Clips.
Hope so. Paul George is going to win a Finals MVP and shut everyone up. That's what's going to happen. It's just wild to see. Anything else? Any last thoughts on this?
You know, I just feel so conflicted about this kind of content, but I think that it's great. Like I said, I love that Brand got the shout out. Obviously, Blake is like an indispensable part of this team's history. As is, honestly, Chris Paul. And, you know, Kawhi, even though it's only been one season, feels like he will be an indispensable piece of this team's history.
He is.
Regardless of what happens.
No matter what happens. He's also New Balance, you're welcome, for signing Kawhi Leonard. But here's a real question.
Yeah.
If you had $19 and all of these players
cost $3, and some cost $5 and some cost $3.
Which of these players would be in? All right, anyway. Let us know who your Clippers top five is on Twitter at Locked On Clips. Been pretty quiet on the timeline lately. Makes total sense. Hope everyone's having a good time.
Yeah, we hope you're all staying safe, though.
You should. There's so many better things.
I've been seeing way too many people outside. Stay safe.
Straight up, 100%. Coming off of this, we're going to be talking Bev's scheduled tweets at the NBA, and then I guess some news about basketball returning.
Yes. All right. So, Bev is, in classic Bev fashion, you know, being the heel. He has
two scheduled tweets every day, I think.
This time, the victim is the official NBA account.
Yep. Some poor intern who is... Maybe might even be furloughed for all we know, who still is just taking care of the account.
Bev is tweeting out check ball every single day.
Every day.
Account.
Seemingly random times.
Yeah.
So that person is just waking up terrified that they're going to get a direct tweet. Is Bev tweeting me?
I'm in a cold sweat.
Bev's scheduled tweets seem to be glory to God and check ball,
mm-hmm.
which is the perfect encapsulation of the kid from Chicago.
Yes.
Also, I just thought, is he now the kid from Chicago, not a kid from Chicago?
I don't know about the, but
okay,
sure.
That's fair.
You know what? We'll go ahead and say the.
For the Clippers fans.
For this podcast, we'll go ahead and say the.
And for Doc Rivers.
He's BJ, the Chicago kid.
Yeah, BJ Chicago. She's like, I'm coming on this podcast, and I'm going to do a mediocre freestyle about why you're wrong. So that kind of leads us in. Disney World is reportedly being the leader right now to be a bid for one of the cities or areas for the NBA to come back. Can our guy Keith Smith get...
He better at least get a huge thank
you. He needs something. Shams and Athletic is doing him really dirty with all these tweets. They're presenting it as like this breaking news. I'm like, you got to give a reply tweet of first thought of by Keith Smith.
Keith Smith.
Help him out.
Keith Smith.
It's the best quarantine idea of all time.
If you're not following Keith Smith NBA on Twitter, please do. Go ahead. He's a great guy.
But realistically, like, Disney World A is its complete own city. It can be quarantined. It can be all that stuff. Like, mm-hmm. Everything is there for it. Vegas is being talked about as another possibility.
I don't see that one working, honestly.
It seems too Las Vegas, if that makes sense, for me to think that it would work.
Well, I just think I think that they're going to have relaxed, stay-at-home stuff. You know, they've said, let us be the guinea pig for whatever you want to do.
Governor, yeah.
So I think that... So my thing is the biggest... danger, which as unfortunate as it is the general public. And I think obviously in order to have a place where you can even have an idea of this happening, you have to be able to shut down or at least very strictly control the amount of pedestrians and people coming in.
Which
Disneyland can absolutely do.
Yeah.
Vegas, a little bit harder. People live there. It's an actual city.
So many people live there. Yeah, 100%. And also
Disney World, I mean, is, you know, it's within a place, but it's not in and of itself an actual city.
I saw a report, too. There's been some NFL trainers who have been doing some workouts because that stuff is more granted. they have had more guys like going faint than usual because people are out of shape. Naturally. You just naturally get out of shape.
I don't even want to think about it.
And so, like...
I don't even want to think about it.
Okay, well, we do.
But I don't want people to get hurt.
I don't want people to get hurt either. But if you think of a place like Vegas, like, it's hot as hell. You might have some lunatic trainer who's like, we're doing
it. It's not hot in Disney World?
Like, no, it is. But, like, Disney World is such... Vegas is, too. Everything's so inside.
Yeah.
Like, inherently, I think that's good. But, like, the heat and desert heat is different than, I think...
Isn't a dry heat better than a wet heat?
I don't know. I have curly hair, so I think wet heat's worse, but...
That's fair.
I gotta keep my
fits. I mean, that's just a hair...
Anyone who knows me know that my fits are truly always on. Whether you love hoodies with jeans or hoodies with cords. But so that got us thinking. Some Love, Marry, Quarantine, the second location.
Yes.
Other than Disney World. Because Disney World... If you actually have any reasons why Disney World shouldn't be the location, I'd like to hear them.
I don't trust Florida.
Okay, I mean... All right, you got me on this. What am I gonna do? I truly don't. So other places to hold games, we have Tayto Park in Ireland. It is Ireland's only theme park. It is based off the Tayto brand of chips. It also has a zoo. This is just them trying to keep some continuity going, maybe getting the international market more involved.
Okay.
It's a very outdated theme park. Second option... Spokane, Washington Hoop Fest courts.
Okay.
Spokane. So Hoop Fest, if you're not
huge, yeah, huge 3-on-3 basketball tournament.
Truly the largest in the world.
It's big. Yeah.
It's the biggest 3-on-3 tournament in the world. Spokane is a bit of a horrible city. There's definitely enough courts. You're going, you know, outside, old school, maybe even shirts versus skins in this scenario. Like, the weather's pretty temperate. The only downside...
Yeah, yeah.
The only downside is you're in Spokane, Washington, and you have to find every other facility.
Also, like, shutting down people in Spokane is hard because it's... I mean, it's smaller.
But it's big enough that people can cause an uproar.
Yeah.
A lot of... there's
no, but I mean, like, it's... You can't move people out of their homes or anything, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, what if it's, like an exchange student program?
I don't know. Like, so they're going to be living with a Spokane family? That's exactly what it is. I'm quarantining this immediately. No NBA player should have to be subjugated to that.
You wouldn't want Lou Will. Okay, that's right. I'm thinking about how cool it would be if you were like, I mean, Lou Will could come live with us for like 4 months, dude. Like,
get stabbed in yeah. Spokane.
No, Spokane, I got some fun stories about Spokane. Also, certain things that come in measurements of billiards equipment, very cheap in Spokane.
Yeah, and for good reason. Garbage.
You feel me. And then my third option, which I think is the best, Louisville.
Yeah.
Welcome to Gwinnett.
I mean, I'm already marrying this one.
Like, everyone can invest in the local community. Louisville is charitable. It'll get spread around. Move it to Louisville.
Yeah, I like it.
I'm fully marrying this one. Like,
yeah.
You can build up.
Marrying this. This is great.
There is a bit of a risk of it becomes like an Olympic-style city in Russia or Brazil where it gets abandoned.
No.
Mr. Updike, what about the possibility of economic downturn after they all leave? No.
So my thing is, if fans don't have to be there, then you already don't have to build the crazy Olympic things, right? Because there's no fans. They could play in a high school gym.
Right.
They could play in a high school gym.
Yeah.
You know, maybe Gwinnett High. I don't know. South Gwinnett.
They might need a couple more courts. So which of these are you loving? Because you're quarantining the Spokane one, which I actually think is great, but...
No, I'm
it's only half the league also.
Quarantining that in a second.
This is only Western Conference people.
I don't love the international travel idea either.
You don't want to go to Tayto Park.
To Ireland. Although, you know what? You know what? I'm coming around. Because there's no snakes there. So that's good. Man, One less thing to have to worry about.
I know that Will isn't very Irish because he still thinks the St. Patrick's Day story is only about snakes.
Now I know it's about other stuff, but there are no snakes there. The most dangerous animal is bumblebees.
That's true, and you do hate snakes.
I loathe snakes.
Fun fact. Also, cool thing, Ireland and the Choctaw Nation, I mean, I think they actually have a cool relationship. The Choctaw tribe donated what they could at the time of the potato famine. It was like $150 or something like that. Recently, Ireland donated in much larger than $150 amount of money to help with COVID relief to the Choctaw Nation. So you know, that's a good thing.
I'm also going to shoot a stray for a secondary love.
Just hope it's not a blank. You feel me?
Which is just, take it on the road. Like, I love the idea.
Oh, like a tour?
I love the idea of each team having their own bus, and they go to a gym, and obviously the people from that local place can't be there. But let's say there's some safe watching places.
Watch parties.
Some safe watch places, like, located around the town or city or whatever. I just love the idea of that. I just love the NBA
so
going, like, just touring across, like, each game of the playoffs, right? Is it just in a different state? So which I know is not fun for the players, but, like, I think in a situation where you can't watch, no one can watch the games live, right? Just the idea of it being, like, in your state or in your town or your city or whatever, I think that is so cool.
You could keep it. Also, like, you could just do it in the same time zones.
Yeah.
And have it, so there's not, I mean, there's still a travel fatigues.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't care how nice of a thing you're flying in, traveling still sucks.
It still sucks.
It still just literally drains you, dehydrates you.
It still sucks.
But I think keeping it in the same time zone, if they flew, that makes total sense. Clippers got a private plane.
Yeah.
The other teams aren't my problem.
Yeah.
No, I like the tour idea.
Like, taking it on the road, I think, is fun. But, I mean, it'll never happen. It's not really very practical.
It's probably going to be Vegas, right?
What's that?
It's probably going to be Vegas for the Western Conference. Because I think it's going to be... It's got to be two cities. They can't... Like, it's... I think it has to be, like, Disney World for East Coast and maybe Vegas for West Coast.
I think it's definitely easier if you do two cities, for sure. But anyways, I'm marrying Lou Willville, as I said. Got a quarantine. Spokane. Spokane, I'm good on Spokane.
Shout out to Spokane.
There's also a very stupid thing people from Spokane call Spokane that I'm not going to mention on
this
podcast.
There's a lot. So here's the worst nicknames for Spokane if you've never heard them. Spokompton, Spokio,
Spokane.
Makes
me throw up.
It's horrible. If we had a Patreon, we would charge you $2 to hear sketchy Spokane stories. But if you just want to DM us, we'll tell them to you.
Yeah.
Get out for some sketchy
dollar
Spokane
a month,
stories.
I'll tell you all my very terrible Spokane stories.
Spokane's biggest claim to fame is the worst Macklemore video was filmed there. Downtown, truly a big piece of garbage. Thank you so much for listening, for hanging out. Also, for all your NBA needs, we're only giving you a little bit, those sweet, sweet Clippers needs. Check out the Locked On NBA podcast.
Yeah.
Absolutely elite content.
An overflowing cup of NBA content.
The god, David Locke, gets that all over there. Check out the Locked On NBA podcast. Monday's episode, some of you may have noticed that Dr. Tarchi was not here.
R.I.P.
Definitely not dead. he was performing surgery. He will return for Monday's episode. We're going to be talking, hopefully, some practice updates.
Yes.
Maybe we got some clips of Trez's new step back three to look over. What if the Clippers just instituted new wrinkles right off the bat in the playoffs?
Not happening. That one especially is never happening.
Oh, that would be truly insane. And then, of course, whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland, we're almost there. It feels like we're so close to basketball coming back.
It's the closest that it's ever been in the last, 3 months.
Every pandemic I've lived through, this is the closest that's felt that basketball is going to return. You can find us on Deezer, Spotify, iTunes, all those great places. Should they leave a review?
Yeah, why don't you leave a rating or a review?
Leave a review. If you've seen Will's new hairstyle, let us know what you think. So far, 100% positive
reviews. I think it's been unanimously
certified
positive.
Fresh.
Yeah. Yes, thank you.
If we could say anymore. And if you've seen my mustache, don't talk about it. I have been positive Chuck
Mockler.
It's
getting there.
It's 2 weeks away from being 2 weeks away. I have been positive Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. Appreciate you.